Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 750 AM KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for three. Yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Lester on KOAL 750 AM.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM. Game one of the NBA Finals tonight, we get a rematch of last year's matchup. Cleveland going toe-to-toe with the Golden State Warriors, and again, Game 1 at Oracle Arena. Joining us right now over the phone to preview Game 1, which is pretty much what we're going to do all show long, we have Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, hey, you join us all year long to talk NBA basketball. I mean, this is what we play for, Game 1 of the NBA Finals tonight.
Oh, man, you're absolutely right. I think this is a prediction we probably both had at the beginning of the year. I know it's a prediction I had. It's the best team in the West versus the best team in the East. Personally, it's just amazing how we've gotten here, especially in the West. And also in the East, because we didn't expect that series to go six in the East. I know I didn't. I don't think you did either, and I don't think anyone did. In the West, we had a classic seven-game series, especially those last two games were instant classic-type games. So we've gotten to this point. It's all the storylines you can imagine, whether it's legacy talk or whether it's back-to-back or completing a great season or, you know, the Cleveland finally getting a ring. There's so many different things going on. So I'm glad we're here. I'm glad it's fun and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was a predictable matchup to me at the beginning of the season. I mean, I think everybody pretty much knew that Cleveland was going to be the team again to beat in the Eastern Conference. And with relative ease, they go through the Eastern Conference playoffs. I mean, we could talk about the two losses to Toronto, but I mean, outside of that, it was fairly simple for Cleveland. In fact, as far as the two one seeds going toe-to-toe in the NBA Finals, doesn't happen as frequently as you would think. The last time this happened, 8 years ago, with the Lakers and Celtics. So rarely do we see the best team in the West in the regular season go up against the best team of the East in the regular season, for obvious reasons. I think the Chicago Bulls have messed that up a couple of times. But this is something that you just don't see very often.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, and a lot of that is because you have to understand that the regular season is a different brand of basketball. Sometimes there's teams that peak too soon. They peak too early. They peak in January instead of peaking in May. You know, so that's why sometimes you get the teams that have great records, and in the postseason, they just don't flame out. Or sometimes there's a bad matchup. I mean, hell, Golden State was literally a record-breaking, you know, game from Klay Thompson away from being out of his finals. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. It's one of those things where matchups, sometimes like styles make fights, as we always say, styles make fights, and that's kind of how it goes. So I'm not really surprised at that stat. My biggest surprise is this, Jordan. It's been 8 years, because there's been a lot of good teams out there. It seems like, I would say, every 4 years that we get a 1-1 matchup, but not totally surprised. But in the West, it's so tough, because usually the top three teams in the West have a chance to make the finals. In the East, it's usually one or two, but usually the top three, sometimes even four teams in the West have a legit shot. So that's kind of surprising.
Let's talk about teams peaking too soon. I think that was a worry for a lot of Golden State Warrior fans. From a pundit standpoint, it was definitely a concern I had, because this team wins 73 games in the regular season. And again, that's kind of an afterthought right now, because they have had their struggles in the postseason. I mean, they were pushed to the brink against OKC. They were down 3-1, showed a lot of resiliency in that series. But I think that was a worry that a lot of people had. You look at the efficiency rankings for Golden State in the regular season, number one offensively, number four defensively. Postseason, number two offensively, number five defensively. That's a net of two compared to Cleveland. It's a net of one. That's a really misleading stat, because Cleveland has had an easier road to get to where they're at. But the bottom line is, I think a lot of people thought that Golden State would have an easier time in the Western Conference than what they really did.
Well, the key series for me in the West was the semifinals versus Portland.
Agreed.
That was a series I don't think anyone had Portland being able to, you know, push the limit. Even though it was a short series, a lot of those games were tight and tough games. Even the games that Golden State won earlier in the series, especially from games 2 to 5, they were really tough games for Golden State. Those were tough, tough games, but the better team found a way to win. The veteran team, the team that's been there before, found a way to close those games out. But I thought, honestly, I think that prepared the Warriors to go up against OKC. You know, being able to scratch and claw and be able to go through a tough series actually helped them, because they've been in the situation where they were pushed a little bit and they're able to respond. I kind of want to see how Cleveland responds, versus Golden State, because, the talent and the level of competition isn't the same out east as it has been out west during this playoffs. I want to see how Cleveland reacts when they get Golden State and Golden State goes on one of its runs.
Again, Jamison Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, our guest right now. Jamison, we'll talk about Golden State here in that Oklahoma City series. It seemed like the last three games, the last three wins for Golden State in that series, ball movement was heads and tails above where it was to start that series. I mean, they fall down 3-1, very stale-looking offensively. They didn't seem in sync, and ball movement, to me, was the most notable deal. What was the biggest difference between the first four games of the series and the final three games of the series?
Well, Golden State's a very unique team. They have great players. They also have great coaching. And the one thing that I've noticed over the last pretty much 2 years is once they figure you out, it's over. Now, it may take a little while for them to figure you out. It may take four games, may take five in some cases. But usually once they figure you out, it's over. It's almost like a poker player. Once you figure out a poker player's tells, you're able to react on that, and it's game over. And that's kind of what I've sensed from them. And it seemed like in game five, somewhere in game five, Steph and Clay kind of figured out how to play against this team and what's going to work, what's not going to work, and they rode it. Now, game six, hey, they had one of those miracle things. They had one of those miracles up their sleeve, and they pulled it out. But it seemed like in game five, somewhere in game five, they figured OKC out. Because in games three and four, they were clueless. They didn't, they didn't know how to handle the switches. They didn't know how to handle the physicality of OKC. It just seemed like it took a little while for them to adjust. Once they did, it was a curtain. So that's the one thing I would say, is that their adjustments and how they really figure out, once they figure you out, it's over from that point. And that's kind of what we saw. But to Golden State's credit, they still had to play the game, and they still, man, they took out two of the top four or five players in the league. Being down in the series, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Stephen Curry's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. I can say that with a lot of confidence. I don't think I've seen anyone that can shoot the ball like Steph Curry. However, one of the players on Golden State that in my mind is overlooked because of what Curry can do offensively, because of what Draymond Green is going to bring to you media-wise and his all-around standpoint, Klay Thompson is the most underrated player in the league in my mind. This is a guy that can get it done on both sides of the floor. He may just break a record this postseason as far as makes in the regular season from downtown goes. Without Klay Thompson, they do not win that series against Oklahoma City. And sometimes when you play with great players, other great players have to take a back seat. To me, Klay Thompson is the key in this series, because he may just be their best perimeter defender, Jamison. I mean, I think his defense is that underrated.
Well, no, you can make a case that, Draymond does a whole lot for them, but Klay is their second best player, because Klay can score over 30 points a game regularly. And he can also defend the guys defending and hold them to a below-average game. And that's the key part. Being able to defend for 35, 40 minutes a night, and also being able to get 30. And this is a statement I'm going to make. You may not agree with me, but I think Klay Thompson is better than Kawhi Leonard. And the reason I say that is, defensively, Kawhi maybe is a notch better. He may be a slight bit better, but Klay does the same things defensively in terms of limiting his guy, forcing tough shots, putting guys in below-average situations. Offensively, as good as Kawhi Leonard has gotten, Klay Thompson's at a different level. Klay Thompson's a guy that he can get you 30-plus any given night. Kawhi Leonard, I don't think, has scored over 30 maybe once or twice in his career. So, they're different, but I would take, if I had to choose between the two, it's a hell of a choice, but I would take Klay Thompson. That's how good he has become. And honestly, he's been this way for a while, but we haven't taken notice to this playoffs. And certain guys take their levels of play to another level in the playoffs, and he's definitely one of them. He's been their MVP this playoff, and I think he may be their MVP of this finals if they do decide to win it. That's how well he's playing.
Yeah, I think if Golden State does win the NBA championship, I think he will be the finals MVP because, again, without him, they're not in the NBA finals. There's no possible way they get past Oklahoma City the way that series was moving. It's always more difficult to win number two. That's what players have told me, you know, over the last few years in my time in NBA locker rooms when I've interviewed defending champs. They've said it's always more difficult to win number two. I think Golden State is now living proof that it's always more difficult to win number two. Can Cleveland give Golden State the same type of series that OKC just gave them?
You know what? If Cleveland had Big Zach and, you know, make shots in the paint, if they had Big Zach and they have Big Zach on board, Kevin Love's a good rebounder, Tristan Thompson's a good rebounder, but, Channing Frye, you know, he's a solid big for what he does, but they don't have Big Zach and punish you down low. OKC has the big Zach. Once they got the rebound, they're not kicking it back out. They're putting it back and scoring. And that hurts when you're a smaller team, being able to go against guys like that. Now, if you're kicking the ball out for, you know, someone to try to shoot a three, well, that's Golden State's wheelhouse because they can close out on guys to test those shots all day long. So I don't think you're going to see the same problems that OKC gave than that Cleveland will do. I don't think we'll see that because Cleveland's bigs don't really finish well around the basket. So that's going to be interesting to see how that goes in this series. But I think that Cleveland will have nights where they do rebound the ball very well, but also at the same time, Golden State will be able to contest better because they'll have a lot of smaller guys out there that will be able to contest the jump shots, the three-point shots. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But at the end of the day, I got to roll with the team that's 73-9. I just honestly, I don't understand how people can pick against a team that set the record of all-time wins in the regular season, has gotten back to the finals, and pretty much everyone's healthy. I'm sorry. I cannot pick against a team that has 73 wins. I can't do it.
Yeah, well, look, one of the things that stands out to me in this series is last year, one individual down low, as you just mentioned, that was so vital to Cleveland's success was Timothy Mozgov. He had a great NBA final. He had a pretty good NBA finals. He had a great playoffs last year. I think he averaged like 11-6 or something like that. He started all 20 games for Cleveland in the postseason. He's a forgotten man. And I think that Mozgov is a guy that you really could use in this series against Golden State, but it seems like Tyronn Lue has made up his mind. It's going to be Channing Frye, and they're going to launch 33-point shots a game.
And the problem with that is this: like you can play that ball versus Toronto and Atlanta and whatnot. You can go small, and that's cool. But remember, Golden State's the best small ball team there is. That's the thing of all time. Like Golden State's the best small ball team ever. So if you're gonna play that game, you better hit a lot of threes. Because if you don't, you're gonna have a bunch of small fast break starters, and you're fighting a team that can shoot three at a high clip in a given night. And you're going against two of the best three-point shooters ever. So we'll see what happens. Personally, I agree with you. Mozgov should play. But remember, in games 4 through 6 of last year's finals, he was pretty much irrelevant because of, you know, they went small and Draymond, he wasn't able to take advantage of Draymond on the offensive end. So we'll see what happens. But if I'm Cleveland, I slow the game up. I don't play at a fast pace. I don't try to get into a three war with them because I just don't see a team outshooting the Warriors 4 out of 7 games. I don't see it.
Jamison Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. He's rolling with Golden State. I would assume you're taking Golden State to win game one, and how many games does it take for the Warriors to win their second NBA championship?
I'm going to give LeBron some credit because, you know, he's one of the best players we've ever seen, and he controls the game better than anyone I've seen in a very long time. But I'll give him 2 games in the series. I will. But at the end of the day, I think Golden State's too good. They're too battle-tested, and they're playing for that storybook inning, man. They've come this far, and they're able to take care of business in 6 games, and we get the best team ever. If they win 73-9 and win a championship, they're the best team ever in my eyes.
Jamison, always great to get you on the show. I know we'll talk again next week in the middle of the finals. I appreciate it. Enjoy game one.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for always having me, man, and don't work too hard over there.
Never, never. You know how we do it. That's Jamison Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com previewing Golden State side of Game 1 of the NBA Finals again tonight. We're going to pause for just a second. When we return, we'll bring in a first-time guest, James Holis of BballBreakdown.com. Excellent, excellent basketball mind. We're going to flip, talk a little bit more about the Cleveland Cavaliers as we continue to preview the NBA Finals here on Drive Time Sports.